with my sister saying there, she say, I could complain, but to look at all the goodness of the Lord, amen. And it's just a wonderful thing that we live in a world like we do, and yet our good days outweigh our bad days, amen. Amen, what a blessing, what a blessing. Amen. We thank God for all that our ears have heard, and
hallelujah.
Want to take you a little higher in the Word. And some of you may have a handout in front of you. If you don't, we're going to go to the book of Deuteronomy in the 7th chapter. That'll be the last of the book of the law. Those Bible students who are here who understand that Moses penned the first 5 books in your Bible as you have it before you, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. And that was known as the Pentateuch, in case you're taking notes. You may or may not be. Penta meaning 5, and it's the 5th book of the Pentateuch.
Yes.
Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. Amen. Then we're going to look from a few verses that are located in the New Testament, from Paul's letter, 2nd letter to the church at Thessalonica, and that will be found in 2 Thessalonians. And those are in the T books. We like to give those kind of clues to Bible students, and that's what we all are, Bible students, amen. The T books in the New Testament are all grouped together. If you find one, you can find them all.
Yep.
So we're looking at 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse number 7. So let's read these passages. And we have a few good thoughts that I want to sow into your mind today. You know, Jesus said when the sower went out to sow, that he went and he cast seed everywhere. And some fell by the wayside, and some fell on stony ground, and some fell among thorns and thistle. But some fell upon good soil and produced some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And in his explanation, he said it was the word of God that was the seed that was sown. And so that's equal to everybody. What happens with the seed after you get it has to do with your own heart.
Amen.
Amen. So we call this word the seed, because it is the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
So let's read Deuteronomy 7, starting at verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, 7 nations greater and mightier than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Amen. Amen. We love the word of the Lord. And this is Moses, the writer. Now we move to Paul, the apostle, in the New Testament, book of 2 Thessalonians. And we'll start there at verse number 7 with the reading. Read, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who...
Because they receive not love of the truth.
This is all God shall send your strong delusion, that they should live in life, that they might be damned and believe not the truth, but that they went to their righteousness, stand firm. But we give thanks always to God for you, brotherly love of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen me salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and the truth of the truth. Whereunto he called me by our gospel, to the understanding of the Lord and of Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen. That is the word of the Lord, the new covenant of the Lord to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And these verses have some good content that I thought was fashionable for our time, something that really needs to be discussed. And we want to talk just from a subject today, briefly, of godly insight to overpower the fallen world. Godly insight to overpower the fallen world. Let's have a word of prayer. Everlasting God, we bless you this morning. Father, we praise you. We thank you for your presence, Lord God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word, oh God. Father, today we thank you for your people.
Yes.
We thank you for the remnant that has been left in the world, Lord God, to continue to believe you and trust in your name. We thank you for every home, every family that's represented here under the sound of our voice. And Lord God, we ask that you give us godly insight this morning, oh Lord, to overpower the fallen world which surrounds us. Father, we pray for uncanny wisdom, that supernatural wisdom that you gave to your people like Daniel and Solomon and Moses and Joshua and even the New Testament apostles as they went among the people who did not believe the truth.
Yes.
We need it today, Lord God, like never before. And we ask today, Father, with the boldness that you have given us to come and say, Lord, we need you and we want you to empower us with uncanny wisdom to be able to cope with every circumstance, every situation, every farce, every false thing in the world that might come against the truth. And we ask for power to take a stand in your mighty name. Bless in the sanctuary today, Lord, with new understanding for people who have something in this lesson that you need, know that they needed it. That's why you sent this word. You said in your word that you sent your word and healed them from all their destructions. And so, Father, we need a healing today. We ask you to heal us, cover us, fix us, oh God. And we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. As our heads are bowed, we thank you for calling us and letting us know that we have the victory already. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, we bless you and we give you praise. We ask you to be with us. Let our minds be focused on your word as we study these portions of your scripture. We ask this in Jesus' name. And the church said together, amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God a hand praise. Amen. That's one thing I like about the Lord out of many is that you can always praise him.
Always.
Because he is always worthy to be praised. Amen. There are no days when God is not worthy to be praised. There are no times. Somebody wrote a song, right now is the right time to praise the Lord. And I agree with that. It's the right time, right now. Amen. But having said that, I was into a thought pattern and thinking about some of the stuff we've been going through and different things that I know that are happening within our families and our homes, even in our church family. We see some things going on, different kind of stuff, and it just makes you think a little bit about the stuff you're going through. What does it mean, and what does God expect his people to get from it, and how does this apply to affecting me to be more the type of person that God wants me to be? And God doesn't want us to be phony or fake in any way. He wants us to be real. He made you unique, however you are. The idiosyncrasies is what fancy word they like to use. That's about a $10 word. Idiosyncrasies that we have are little things that make us all unique and different one from another. There are things that some of us gravitate toward and that are kind of to our own individual bent, and how we were raised has to do with your environment, what you went through, what you believe, what you were taught, where you went to school. All kinds of stuff makes that up to make each one of us a very prime, unique person. And you know what? God is so extreme with that thing. If you look at every rose, every petal on a rose, every tulip, each one is totally unique, even though they have a lot of similarity. You can look at a million of them, you'll see a million different ones. You know, and you look hard to find two that actually match up very close. Same thing with people. So you are uniquely, the Bible says, fearfully and wonderfully made. And God crafted you and formed you, even you were knit together from your mother's womb. So you have some unique characteristics. You've been through different things in your life than your neighbor next to you. The stuff they went through was not the same as the stuff you went through. You had different arrangements of family and all kinds of things. And all of this stuff happened to you within the context of what I want to call today, and which is true, the Bible says, within the context of a fallen world. Even though my parents were good people, they loved each other to some degree. They were defective. I'm not here to talk about them or put them down. It's just the truth.
Yep.
They had some defects. They had some stuff not right. Some stuff was not they didn't agree about. They were twisted on some stuff. There was some stuff they were right about. That's the way it is. David looked at it that way. In Psalm 51, he said that it was in sin his mother conceived him.
Yeah.
And people say, what? Conceived in sin? Yes, that's the doctrine of original sin.
Yeah, right.
He said, but it wasn't really necessarily her fault. This is a thing been going on all the way back since the time of Adam.
Yep.
And so people come with an individual twist or bent some kind of way. And we have to learn who God is and learn who he wants us to be.
Yes.
At some point in life, first we need to learn he's not mad with me. He's not upset with me. He loves me. He knows how I am. He knows what I'm going through. And he also knows where I need to be and what I need to be going through. And he knows what to do to get me from point A to point B to fix me. You know what? Jesus said that he had overcome the world. Remember that? He said, these things I've written to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So when you hooked up with him, remember he asked you to do that if you're saved. At some point, like in Matthew 11:28, we can talk about a million verses. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's what it means to be in the fallen world. You are laboring. You are heavy laden. You got some weight on your plate. You got some things that bog you down.
Yeah.
He said, but come unto me all ye, first of all, that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Wow, the first thing he wants you to do is get rest.
Yes.
Take the load off of you.
Yes.
Yoke up with me, he says in the translation. Take my yoke up on you and learn from me. Let me teach you how to navigate this fallen world.
Yeah.
Let me give you some insight into how this thing that looks so twisted and so complicated in your life, which is just life in general, how to straighten it out and how to walk through it and have some joy.
Yeah.
And have some peace.
Yeah.
How to realize that I got this. Like we said that last week, I was listening to the message. God said, I got this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't really need to worry about it. But you do need to walk with me.
Yes.
Talk with me. That's what prayer is. Walking with me is doing what I tell you. And talking with me is praise.
Yes.
And listen, not prayer is not just one way. We're giving God a grocery list. That's not it. It's almost sit quietly and listen.
Yeah.
And let him speak in my spirit the stuff that he wants to say to me. I'm going to pick up his word and read it. And when I go over it and say, boy, that didn't make a lick of sense. Have you ever done that? Y'all can confess. You read something in the word and you look at it and say, boy, that didn't make a lick of sense. You know, and sometimes we go around where we're kind of covering up stuff on the inside.
Watch out.
We got stuff going on. We don't want anybody to know, so we got a facade going on the outside.
Yep.
Kind of like that commercial. And so we put on our happy face. But inside, we got stuff going on. You know, we can't hardly function. And the world will tell you, go get you some drugs.
Yep.
And then get out of it. You'll be okay. But so many times you have to find that thing and then put it up there. Because we know that's the kind of way we want you to see that happy face. But we got some issues going on. And then there's sometimes folk go around and their face don't even know they saved. I told y'all that. You see folk, they be looking like this. And I'm gonna quit with this. I just thought it would be fun this morning, liven it up just a little bit here. But you know, if you saved, you ought to know you're saved, and you ought to have something to be happy about. Amen. So looking at this text, let's get what God gave me here on this, because I thought it was something. I said, well, you know, I need to share this with the church because it really does make sense. God wants to give you internal insight. That's what insight is, a view from the inside of where you are in life that comes from God based on what he has taught you and on his spirit who lives in you. And he's going to give you authority or power over the fallen world.
Yes.
The world seeks to bring you down in so many ways.
Yeah.
It tries to wash out your connection with God.
Mm-hmm.
It wants to tell you there are many gods and many paths to God.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says that's not so.
Right.
The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 5, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. See, and so there's no confusion about one. One simply means one. But God says, if you walk with me, I got this revelation reading this book of Deuteronomy. Moses has been in charge of the people of God now, and he's coming toward the end of the time of his leadership. And he is now about to transition and send them over into the land God promised, which he began the promises way before Moses was born. All the way back in the time of Abraham, God started these promises. And he passed them down through the mouths of the Jews for generations. He told Abraham when he was by himself, didn't even have any son or seed at all, that I'm going to multiply you and make your name great.
Amen.
And I'm going to bless the one who blesses you and curse him that curseth you. And in your seed, which he didn't have any, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So I'm going to bless the whole world using you, solitary Abraham with no seed. Wow, that must have been quite a promise. Think about that. If you're 75 and somebody comes to you and tells you, get out of this place, disconnect. That's essentially what Genesis 12 is about. Disconnect. Get out of this country. Get out of your father's house. Don't worry about his inheritance. Yes, I realize he's got cattle and flocks and herds and lands and it's worth billions. Leave it. Come into a land I'll show you and I'll bless you. You think that's a blessing? Wait till you get over here where I want you to go. See, and I'll make your name great. Nobody knows you now. You're old Abraham. Old seedless Abraham. No kids, just in here kind of dwelling around. See, 75. You're on the edge, you got one foot on a banana peel, the other one in the grave, you might be thinking. And you're just 75. Oh, but like, boy, nothing has happened. My life is kind of bland. I got a little stuff here. But God says, come away. Forget all that.
Yes.
Follow me. And I'm going to bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing.
Yes.
I will bless the one who blesses you and curse the one who curses you. Wow, think about that. If God promises you something like that, people who are called your enemies, they better watch it.
All right.
You better watch it. You want to cuss me behind my back or even in my face?
Yeah.
God says, I'm going to bless the one who bless you.
Yes.
In other words, if you speak well to me, it's going to be beneficial to you.
Right.
If you speak against me, it's going to be against you. You bring a curse on yourself. Because
right.
God promised he would bless the ones who bless you.
Amen.
Curse the ones who curse you. And in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So that promise was made. Abraham, it took a while for him to see it. In fact, he was 100 years old. 25 years went by before he had the child of promise that we call Isaac. And Ishmael had happened in there before then. That was him kind of getting a little gabagonious, if y'all don't mind, if I use that word. Don't look it up. You may not find it in the dictionary. It's a strange word. But he got a little carried away. We know the story there over there in Genesis. But eventually, God did keep his promise. 25 years, Isaac, the child of laughter, was born. So named because Sarah said, ha, 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 I'm going to have what? So, okay, we're going to name him the child of laughter.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know, she said, get the Hagar and take care of that business God told you about.
That's what she said.
Beforehand. Later on, the angel said, no, that's not the son I'm promising you. It's going to be through your wife.
Through you.
And she laughed. She laughed. I don't know that it sounded like that, but it may have. In either case, she said, call him the child of laughter. Now, when he's born, he was born when Abraham was 100.
Wow.
Amazing. You know all about that. I'm not trying to get in there. I'm trying to get you to Moses here. Through many generations, it was actually 430 years from this time till the time the children of Israel had been in bondage in the land of Egypt. And this is when God gave the revelation of all that happened from Abraham up until that time that they were being held in captivity under slavery in the land of Egypt. So at this time, we could say the fallen world was overpowering the people of God. They were in captivity. They weren't in the land God had promised. They were not crossing over into that rich land that flowed with milk and honey, that had herds and cattle and flocks and all those things that Abraham had left that had been promised to his generations and to his seed. Here in Deuteronomy 7, Moses has come back at the age of 80. He is moving along in years. He's approaching the age of about 120 near this time. He's close to 110 to 120 years old at the time of this writing. We know he passed and was buried in Moab by God at the age of 120. Is what it says. So this is toward the end of his life. So I'm trying to skip some time here to give you the gist of what God says about this. Notice what he said. Now Moses is now reiterating the promises that God made. He's already told them earlier on that you're going to go into a land that flows with milk and honey. In other words, milk and honey. You ever think about that? What is that milk and honey? That, how does that relate? And I thought on it one day and prayed on it. And what happens is if you get milk, a cow doesn't have to die. He gives milk. There's no death. To get honey, nothing has to die. The bees make honey all day long. And it's there for free and you can just go get it. I even found out honey doesn't even have a shelf life. It doesn't expire if you don't mess with it. You can just keep it for as long until you use it. So the land of milk and honey, think about that. Wow, that's pretty deep, isn't it? It's flowing with milk and honey. It's got plenty of it. There's no death. You don't have to kill anything. You can have what you need. But here he's now trying to tell this generation of Jews who have become a stiff-necked people who are overpowered by the fallen culture around them. He's telling them, stay faithful. Stay in faith. God's promise is coming. He wants them to know that when the Lord thy God shall bring thee, it says in Deuteronomy 7:1, into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee. See that? And it's the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and the Electric Lights, and the Infantites, or whoever else can come up with some folks here. These are people who were in that land. And he said he's going to get them all out. See that? He says here, notice, seven nations greater and mightier than you. Wow, these people big and bad, but God's going to kick them out and give it to you.
Yes.
Wow, that's something else, isn't it?
Yes.
And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before you, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, and thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. The reason is God has given them time, and they had evidence they could have repented and trusted God and been saved themselves. But they have ignored God and continued on to do their own thing. And he says, so basically he says, I've given them space. Now you don't see that in this text, but I wish I had time to take you to some other text to show you how long these people had to get their act together. And they didn't do it. They were hard against God. They said they were hard against the people of God. And we're bigger and badder than them, and let them come over if they want to. I'm going to give them a knuckle sandwich and they're going out of here. That's the way the people feel.
Uh-huh.
But God says through Moses, nope, that's not going to happen. You're going to overtake them, smite them, and destroy them. You're going to go in. Why? Because they have had time to repent.
Yes.
And they have not done it. Now notice what he goes on to give the instructions here, verse 3. Neither shalt thou make marriages with any of them. So don't go marrying your daughter or your son to any of them. Or nor take their sons to give to your daughter. Don't get into maternal relationships with people who are unequally yoked with you, that don't trust in God, that don't believe the truth. That's going to be a problem. We got a lot of folk today, I think, that can bear witness to this testimony.
Yes.
That you end up, you marry somebody, hell, he'll be all right later. Well, it turns out he never gets all right and becomes a curse to your house and your family and everything else because you didn't follow godly instruction. For they will turn away your son. Now, this is the reason, verse 4, from following me, and they will make you serve other gods. That they may serve other gods, make your sons go after other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. See that? But this, thus, he says, shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. Get rid of it with a passion, we might say. For thou art, this is the reason, a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the earth, on the face of the earth. So God blessed you. If you believe it's because God blessed you, it's not because you got so smart you figured it out. God chose you. He called you, and he's blessing you because he wants to bless you. And he wants you to have the things that you want, and he's going to give them to you. Now today, we probably got some people maybe here, and I hope there's nobody in here, but there's somebody in the church somewhere. Instead of all these Gergeshites, Havites, Hippites, we just like Superman used to be allergic to kryptonite. We got some folk want to go to the club tonight, the casino tonight, porno tonight, lottery tonight, freaky sex tonight. We got all kinds of different folks here that we have to worry about in our culture. You're seeing folks who might want to slip out on something here. So don't try to figure out all those people. That's the kind of thing they were into. And I just wanted to give you that kind of to help you understand what kind of people the Lord was dealing with there. Okay, so notice this now. You want to watch out for people who have other gods. Since we know that the Word of God is explicit about the fact that salvation is a free gift given by God to each one who believes that he has given his Son, Jesus Christ, as the only acceptable sacrifice with power to save each one who places all their trust in him and believe that God has raised him from the dead as proof that the curse of sin, which is death, has been swallowed up in victory. That's what we see at the cross. Then we must also learn that no matter how we are thinking, feeling, or misunderstanding, or not liking the negative situations that we're going through in life, God's plans nor promises are not changing, nor even being affected at all. Do you know that?
Amen.
No matter what you're going through, the schedule God has set for your life, it's in motion, and it's not backing up one second. You might be stumbling around and tripping and getting tossed to and fro and hearing all kinds of stuff, and it might even look like you're losing. But this is one great reason that we must learn to walk by faith and not by sight. You can't go by the stuff you're seeing that's negative against your life. Because God said, I'm going to bless you. Guess what's going to happen? He's going to bless you.
He's going to bless you.
Yes.
Now, that's why the psalmist, as we mentioned, said, yea, though I walk what through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm going through. Yeah, it looks like I'm losing. This big shadow of death, boy, that could be a scary thing, couldn't it? Think about that. Maybe he was thinking about Goliath standing over him 10 times his size. And I can't even see the sun because you didn't eclipse me. But I'm walking through the valley because I know you with me, and I got these stones, and God going to take one of them straight up to your head. And you coming down, buddy. See what I'm saying? David, who writes the psalm there. So we have to remember to keep our mind focused on what God told you he was going to do. If you're not strong in the word, maybe you don't remember, and then you can be shaken and tossed to and fro. But you need to anchor your mind to the word, the truth, the promises that God has made you. Don't forget it when, you know, we think about it when stuff's going well and everything's coming in and it's all going my way and all looks very good. But we don't think about it when stuff's coming apart, coming unglued, and we don't know how we're going to hold our little pieces together. See, we don't think about it then. But God never has changed.
Never.
And it's not going to. That's the good news. He is a rock, the Bible says, that you can build your faith upon. Not going nowhere. He is an unchangeable one. The only unchangeable cause is God. So we have to remember, we must not waver into unbelief like fallen Israel did when Moses had strongly admonished them to be persistent in faith, pay no attention to the way things appeared to being exaggerated or blown way out of proportion by the enemies of God, but to rely solely upon God's promises at all times, making no compromises with the enemies of God, which tend to have a great appeal to our own fallen flesh as well. We side with the fallen stuff a lot of times because, for whatever reason, you know why? Because we're a little twisted too.
Yes, we are.
And that's a hard truth, but it's true.
Yeah.
You you don't hear it much in the church. We got little bents and twists, and sometimes we side with the stuff that's not right. And we know it's not right. What do you do? You got to get your mind right on that. Trust God. Read the word. Pray. Seek his face. The stuff he already changed, he only did it because he woke us up out of darkness, and he gave us a glimmer of light and a glimmer of hope to hold on to. And you know what? Christ Jesus is history.
Yes. Yes.
You don't have to go far to find out. Yes. This historically took place.
Yes.
People will tell you it never happened. I said, wonder what planet were you on, buddy? If you don't know it had happened, and the whole world down here is counting time based on his first coming.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Do you think they built that on a farce or some kind of a imaginary thing? I don't think so. So the facts are very clear. Jesus Christ has come, and he came to seek and save that which was lost. That's the theme of the book of Luke. I want you to see something here, Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, before we get out of here. Amen. I want you to see that he was letting them know that even though the world is going to be shaky like that and flaky like that, that you don't have to worry about it. The reason is here, very clearly stated, we don't have a lot of time to go in great detail, but he says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And people wonder, and this is a question I get asked a lot, why does God let that evil stuff go on? If it's evil, why don't he just rub it out? Have you ever thought that or asked that question? Why don't he just get rid of all the evil folks out here killing people and doing all that? And one day he will. You know, that's what's known as the mystery of iniquity. Why does God allow fallen people to do fallen stuff? And it hurts everybody, even the saved. Why do saved people have to be put up with this kind of thing? Why don't God just wipe them all out and get on with it? You know, that's why you got souls in the book of Revelation under the altar saying, how long, O Lord? How long?
Yes.
They want to know, how long are you going to put up with this? And the answer's not long. Time is going to go by like a flash, like a sweep in the night. It's going to be like like James said, like a vapor that just vanishes. It's going to all be gone. To God, it doesn't really look like a lot of time. It does to us. But that's what's known as the mystery of iniquity. Iniquity is that inborn proclivity for human beings to do the wrong thing and gravitate toward the wrong thing. See? And it's at work. God allows it because he knows we all have to struggle with it. But he also has provided a solution for it. The solution is trust in Jesus Christ. Study my word. Let me guide you and lead you and give you insight how to overpower the stuff in the fallen world.
Amen.
I have to teach you that. That's a deep secret. You learn it, and somebody wrote a song, we will understand it better, what? By and by. You don't get it overnight. You don't become a scholar instantly. You got to study it. Study to show thyself approved unto God as workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
He told Timothy, it's a process, but God made it so you can come into the process knowing that you will succeed.
Yes.
I've guaranteed you success.
Yes.
When you look over there and find Joseph's tomb empty, and Jesus is not in there, hallelujah.
Yeah.
I have a real solution to the real problem, which produces death. Nobody else has been able to, nor ever will. There's going to come a fake one in the future time. The devil is going to bring somebody in to fake a resurrection. But we know on earth there already has been a resurrection. And the whole world is configured around the resurrection that there already has been. And Jesus is the one who rose out of the grave. And so we have to bank on what God already said. Fix your hope on the living God and what he has already provided. Notice what else Paul says. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. There's coming a day when God is going to peel the cover back off of Satan and all of his works, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. When he comes back, it's going to be snuffed out in a second. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. See that? People are setting themselves up to be tricked and deceived by the Antichrist. He is on the rise. I'm hearing more and more every day about folks getting microchipped and all kinds of stuff. The Bible said it's going to happen. It says when Jesus comes, every eye will see him. The whole earth shall wail because of him. John said, even so, come Lord Jesus. Come on, bring it on. We're ready for it. We're ready because we're prepared by being in you. But Satan is going to rise up in the world and put on a big show, smoke and mirrors, trip a whole lot of people, especially unbelieving Jews, and Gentiles who are stuck into whatever sin has them enslaved. And it comes, as you see in verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because this is why they perish. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. See, if you love the truth, the gospel of Christ, he will save you. Doesn't make any difference how deeply entrenched in the devil's kingdom you are. He will save you. If you trust and believe in him, you can know that you're saved. He will deliver you and bring you out of that thing and let you walk by faith and not by sight. And notice what happens. These people didn't receive the love of the truth. That's why you need to love your Bible. Verse 11, for this cause, because they didn't love their Bible, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. In other words, just like the Pharaoh, you don't want to believe me, I harden you in your sin. Go ahead.
Yep.
Turn you over to it. You want sin? I turn you over. Take my hands off of you. Let that sin you want, you can have it. Because you reject my truth. See that? So you need to stand firm. I put a little note there. He says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Wherefore he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul warned the Thessalonians to remain in faith and belief in God's word, because it shall become a point of testing. See, you're going to be tested. How much do you believe the truth? When it's time to make a choice between Satan's hogwash and his smoke and mirrors and the truth, which one will you choose? It's going to be a testing point, which every person confessing faith in Jesus Christ as per the truth, which is in the word of God, especially in the end time scenario soon to be revealed in the latter days. So this time is coming up. You're seeing more things in the world that are shaping up for that time when the Antichrist is going to rise and mislead many. And Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he who is firm unto the end, staying in faith, shall be saved. He who believes till the end shall be saved. So I want to admonish you, because we don't hear a lot of challenging messages in the church. I think the church is going soft on a lot of things, but I want you to know the hard truth.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yes.
See, that's the way it has happened to me. And the stuff I wanted to be free from, I didn't have strength to get free from it. But you keep on in the truth, and God will strengthen you, and you will have freedom. See, you will get freedom. He'll break the chains. In fact, this is the way it really is. The chains are already broke. If you trust Christ, you just need to let them go. How many people have chains on and are not connected to anything and they don't even know it? All they do is walk away. Don't do it anymore. God has given you the ability to walk away. He's broken your chains already. Amen. Let's stand. Everlasting God, we praise and bless you. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, today the word was very strong, and we ask you to take that word, Father, and shape and mold us, God. Give us insight and godly wisdom that we can overcome the fallen world that seems to just engross and empower all around us, Lord.
Yes.
And Father, sometimes we're stuck, and we need your merciful, gracious hand to free us, Lord. Let us see that in our mind we can walk in the truth. We can walk in the deliverance that you have already provided. Help us today, Lord God, to be able to do that, Lord. So many things we'd like to cast them far from us, and it's so difficult sometimes, Father, only because of the internal mindset that we have toward those things. And so today, Father, we pray that you give us wisdom and insight to understand how we can loose ourselves from those things. We ask you to bless every home, every family. We ask protection over the children in the room. We want to ask special protection over Donovan at this time, Lord. Cover and protect his mind, Lord God. Help him to come back into a strong mind, Lord. Understanding all those seeds that have been sown in his mind from your holy word. Bless his whole situation, Father. You know what he needs. We don't even know what to ask for, but we know who to ask. So we ask you to look over it, Lord God. Help today, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Bless Bless every family and every home represented in the room.
Yes.
Help the children in the room, Lord God, to embrace the truth that they have heard today.
Yes.
Help all the adults and strengthen us all in the room, Lord God. We need to have you just help us, Father. We don't want to fail in the testing when it comes time.
Yes.
Lord God, and we want to be there to stand with you as you say, come up here and call up your church. Lord God, we praise you and we bless you. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, if there's anybody in the room that's not certain that they are saved and want to ask you right now into their life, we pray you move right in. Lord Jesus, we need you. We have believed that you have been risen from the dead. Save us right now, Lord God. Help us to know you in the pardon of our sin. Help us to realize complete victory is in you and no one else. Help us to realize even when you got out the grave, you got up with all power in heaven and earth given to you. And you did it for us. And we bless you today, God, and we give you praise. And we ask this all in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And the church said together, amen. Give God a hand praise. Amen. Amen. We're a couple of minutes over, but I do want to not have you leave till we give you the opportunity to unite with us. If you are saved and you would like to be a part of the church, the St. Timothy family, we invite you to come at this time. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name. Show that right now just by coming forward if you would like to unite with this body of believers. We want to be here to be a support system for you. Amen. We guarantee to take you into any area that you want explained in the Word the best we can. If we don't know, we'll make sure we find out. Whatever the answer is, it is in God's Word. Amen. Amen. So we want to give you that opportunity at this time. Amen. You should make that decision. A lot of things happen in the world, and you don't know when that'll be or how that'll be. I don't think folks in Houston thought it was going to be as bad as it was, and I thought it was going to be not as bad as it was. Kind of freaked me out the way it went on and on and on down there. Amen. Then the direction that it moved after it left there, all of that kind of was a surprise. But we still want to continue in prayer for them. But if you're here today and you'd like to become a member of St. Timothy, we need your help, and we don't mind begging you to come. We plead with you to come right now. Amen. It would be the happiest thing I could do would be shake your hand and take you into the family here with St. Timothy. Amen. Amen. The temptation started at Ain't Too Proud to Beg, but I think I don't mind either. In this case, I have a better thing that I'm begging you to do. Amen.
Amen.
We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Hope you got a good word from the message today.